This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan MacLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm on a call now with Becca Hunu and Mark Smith to talk about what looks like a very interesting new startup cryptocurrency exchange called TrustBar. TrustBar will allow for the transfer of value not just intra-blockchain, but also cross-chain, allowing users to swap tokens from one blockchain to another in one click. Apparently, no decentralized exchange currently offers this kind of functionality. Becca, Mark, welcome to the podcast. I suspect I might quickly get in over my head on this interview, but let's chat about what it is you guys are doing. Mark, maybe I can pick on you first. Who all is behind this venture, and what is the problem that you are trying to address?
So Becca, myself, and Lillian have all got together, and we've trying to solve a problem that's persisting in the industry. Becca and myself have been victims of hacks. We both had money on Bitfinex in 2016, and we lost some money. And it's just been bugging us. And we've come up with a solution where we think we can solve an industry problem.
Okay, so what is that solution exactly?
So basically, we want to build a decentralized exchange where we don't hold the crypto assets. The crypto assets are held by the user, so no one is at risk. So we can build a platform where people can exchange tokens between themselves.
Okay. So, Becca, let me bring you in here. This is let's get down and talk about some basic definitions here for someone who might be listening to this podcast who doesn't understand how the cryptocurrency world works. So you're planning to build what's called a decentralized exchange. First, what exactly is a cryptocurrency exchange, and what is the difference between a centralized and a decentralized exchange?
Essentially, an exchange of any sort is a marketplace where two people meet to exchange goods or products or services. Think of like the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, where people come to buy and sell shares. So in the crypto space, basically people have these crypto tokens, and sometimes they are actual currencies, and other times they are tokens in like the Ethereum blockchain. So from time to time, those people need to trade those tokens for either fiat in rand dollars or for other tokens that they now prefer. So we are creating that type of marketplace where now people can come and securely exchange those digital assets instead of like a centralized exchange where you basically have to hand over your cryptocurrency to them, and then you are allowed to exchange on the platform. I'm not sure if that makes sense.
So everyone talks about the Cape Town-based company Luno. Is that an example of a centralized exchange?
Yes. So, yes, that's a very good example of a centralized exchange where basically in Luno you can deposit your Bitcoin or Ethereum, and should they be hacked, you would lose that Ethereum and Bitcoin, because basically the private keys, so the signatures used to move the tokens from wallet to wallet, are owned by them. Whereas with us, we are going to allow the user to keep control of the keys by using smart contracts so that they can move the funds whenever they feel and please. And we will not be able to just move their funds without their consent.
So you won't hold the wallet at all?
So no, we won't.
Okay. So just I imagine there's some security advantages here, but what are some of the other advantages of using a decentralized exchange?
So I won't lie. At the moment, they are plagued with some liquidity issues, which we are also looking to solve. But generally, they are faster to move on the new tokens being launched because it's code already, and to integrate it is much quicker than someone who's got a database outside of the blockchain managing all the tokens. So that's one of the advantages. And security for me is a big one. As someone, as Mark said, we've been through a couple of hacks. I've been through a couple of hacks where we've lost funds, and it's never a nice feeling.
Yeah. Okay. So you put users in control of their own wallets, but what do those wallets look like? I mean, what as a cryptocurrency newbie myself, what exactly, how exactly do you get your own Bitcoin wallet, for example?
So currently, the simplest way to get, for example, a Bitcoin wallet, or let's talk Ethereum since it's more in line with smart contracts, which I will further extend on.
Okay.
So to get, the simplest way would be to install the Ethereum client and then generate a wallet locally. So what we are going to look to do is offer tools and utilities, something akin to MetaMask, where the key is generated via a web interface, but the key is returned to you rather than the exchange storing the key. So you can create a wallet on the fly on the web, mm-hmm. and then from there on, you can transact. I think there's also websites like blockchain.info, which allow you the same thing with Bitcoin, where you can go and create a web wallet and get the keys back. So you are in control of the funds.
All right. So you need to keep those keys in a safe place, I presume, or risk losing all of your investments.
Yeah, that is a big risk. So we'll look at implementing maybe some systems around two-factor authentication to further assist you with maybe should they be lost to retrieving them in future. But that's still up in the air because mm-hmm. it is also a security risk. So you have to own that should you lose your keys or somebody is able to spoof your two-factor authentication, you're in trouble anyway.
All right. So what is the background? What did you guys do previously? I believe you were in the financial services space. Becca, what is your background? Are you from a banking background?
Yeah, well, in the last 8 years, I've been working in banking, mm-hmm. and it's C-sharp mainly, and more systems analysis around international payments. So I've been exposed to exchanging, say, dollars for rand and so on and so forth. So it's not a big leap with where we're going with this exchange.
All right. And Mark, what's your background?
I'm a management consultant. I'm an implementation specialist. Projects of my game. Been doing it for the last 20 years.
All right. Okay. And you mentioned there's a third co-founder?
Yes, there is. And her name is Lillian Ho.
Right.
She's an ex-colleague of mine who I rate very highly, and academic record speaks for herself, and she's been at various big financial institutions in South Africa and abroad. And with my time with her, I found her as a really great all-rounder and an implementation specialist who gets the job done. And it was only logical for me to have her on this because with her on my side, I believe we can achieve big things.
Right. Is she going to be the CEO of the company?
Yes, that's correct. She's going to run the show.
And you're Chief Operating Officer, Mark, you're Chief Financial Officer, is that right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. So you're planning to launch this exchange later this year, but first you're planning to do an ICO or initial coin offering on something called the Neo blockchain platform. This will happen on the 31st of August of this year, with the TrustBar exchange to be launched on the same Neo blockchain in December. What is the Neo blockchain and why are you using it?
So the Neo blockchain is one of the leading platforms out there. It's essentially a blockchain like most blockchains, but slightly different to those that require proof of work. We found it very fast and efficient. And I don't know if you want me to go technical on maybe what the blockchain is and
please do
explain it further.
I think it'll be of interest to our listeners. So please do go ahead.
Okay. So the blockchain is at a high level, just a ledger. So it's a record of transaction. It's a public record of transactions. So the Neo blockchain offers further functionality to actually execute code based on this transaction floating around that you're eventually going to write into this permanent ledger. So that's what makes the blockchain a blockchain where it's permanent. So basically, Neo offers you other functionality where you can then write code, which people have now gone and created various tokens to do something, whether on the blockchain or outside of the blockchain, where It's maybe even companies like TrustBar. So we will also eventually issue a NEO token, which will be basically tokens on top of NEO, which now people can, which will distribute to the people, and then they can hold and participate in our community in helping us grow, and also at the same time, hopefully get some value out of the exchange with the security and all the functionality we're going to bring.
All right. Mark, how much are you hoping to raise through this ICO?
So we're looking at raising $35 million US. That's our target.
Yeah, so that's the
upper limit. Sorry, Becca, say that again.
That's essentially the upper limit of the tokens that we will offer and the pricing that we are thinking of going at. The maximum that can be raised is $35 million.
Right, and I presume you're not just targeting this at a South African audience. This is going to be a global ICO.
Correct, yeah, it's international.
Okay. So if I'm interested, if someone's listening to this podcast and is keen on what you guys are doing and they want to participate in this ICO, what do they need to know? What do they need to do?
So they would need to have a NEO wallet. I think so we will be sending out a blog about that, how to create a NEO wallet. Mm-hmm. And then once the ICO is live, first people have to KYC, and then they can participate in the ICO.
KYC, just explain that jargon.
So know your customer. So typical onboarding of any bank or any insurance product, you need to onboard. So we will be collecting IDs as well as doing a KYC process with the users.
I see. Okay. And you're doing this ICO on the 31st of August. Is it just a one-day affair?
No. So the 31st of August is for the pre-sale. So we have conditions that need to be met from the pre-sale. So we have a minimum buy on the pre-sale of 15 NEO with an upper limit of 3,000. And then we're having a crowd sale from the 1st of October. So we're not having any restrictions or limits on the crowd sale.
So just explain the difference between the two.
So pre-sale is, I can explain it.
A pre-sale will be essentially for people looking to invest slightly larger amounts, and also there'll be bonuses attached to you investing that slightly larger amount. So that's going to be essentially the biggest difference.
Bonuses?
Between the pre-sale and the public sales.
Bonuses such as?
Yes. So, at the moment we're busy with an airdrop. So anyone who basically goes to the website at trustbar.io will get awarded tokens just for free, to just for us to distribute the world kind of thing. So as a start. So from there on, we're going to do referrals where if you refer someone and they participate in the ICO, you will get additional tokens in helping us grow the community.
Right.
And then when the pre-sale opens, then you will decide whether you want to contribute NEO or not now to help TrustBar as a company raise mm-hmm. funds. Should you decide to do so in the pre-sale, then you will get 10% more tokens than a person who will participate in the public sale.
Okay. Now I see that all qualifying TrustBar token holders will receive a monthly dividend from the profits that are generated from the TrustBar exchange. Can you maybe talk to that a bit, how that's going to work?
So essentially, when we launch the product in December, it's going to be a token trading platform.
Mm-hmm.
So for every token that you trade, even on centralized exchanges or not, or even JSE, you pay a certain fee to have that transaction completed. So those funds then we will distribute with those people who had initially contributed into the ICO as a form of a thank you going forward.
I see. Okay. So, Becca, if you don't mind perhaps explaining a little bit, as a prospective user of the TrustBar exchange, what do I need to know? How is it going to work technically?
Okay. So at a high level, we will look at trying to make things easy. So we will look at you maybe getting a plugin like MetaMask, which is out there, which is for Ethereum. So which will assist you with storing your private keys and also accessing the UI easily. So whether you have MetaMask or your private keys in text so that you can paste and authorize the transactions you wish to perform. So once you are ready, you will go into our website and then you will use either MetaMask or the private keys to authenticate that you are the person that controls this wallet. And in so doing, then we will be able to now start performing transactions of on your behalf using that signature you just presented to us. So if you don't have tokens on the platform, you will then use the signature to transfer from your wallet onto the platform, basically the smart contract. And then once the tokens are in the smart contract, then we'll allow you to now say you wish to sell 10 tokens of Apex and get maybe one NEO in return. And that's basically how everything will work.
Okay, so this is going to offer cross-chain transactions between blockchains. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
So if you say you wanted to go cross-chain, you would basically need to present us with two keys. So basically your first key would be related to your NEO wallet, and then your second key would be, for example, related to your Ethereum wallet.
Right.
And then you've deposited the NEO tokens. Let's say it's just NEO, and then you say you want to buy a token on the Ethereum blockchain. Can you think of one, Mark? Okay. So say you want some Ethereum.
Yeah.
So basically, with the signature on NEO, you will then authorize us to transfer that 10 NEO to someone who wishes to sell you one Ethereum. And with the link between your two wallets, so your NEO wallet and your Ethereum wallet, we will know where to get the other Ethereum sent to.
Okay. How much demand is there for the sort of cross-chain transactional ability? Is there, why has no one done this before?
I think centralized exchanges do it, like Binance. So, but of course, it comes with the risk that we are trying to mitigate. So the demand that's out there is essentially our demand also. In terms of decentralized, I think there are a couple of people trying to solve it. So we just also throwing our names in the hat to say maybe we can do it better than other people can.
Is it quite a big technical challenge to get right?
Yeah, it is, I think. And also there's the associated risk with any exchange of, you know, don't lose the people's funds. So security wise, you have to be on point. Otherwise, the whole thing will just fall flat on its face.
Well, take me through what you guys are doing from a security perspective. I mean, obviously, this is a decentralized exchange. So from that perspective, it's already more secure than a centralized exchange might be. But what other security are you going to bake into this product?
So we're looking at various partners to audit our smart contracts. So essentially, that piece of the code that we are going to publish to the blockchain will be pre-audited before we put it, just because of previous issues, the DOA hack and the splitting of Ethereum between Ethereum and Ethereum Classic came from a bug in the code of your smart contract. So that's one factor. And then secondly, as we've said, we will not be in control of the user's funds. So that's going to be our biggest strength, where we are not the source of weakness, where it's basically on you. And should one person get hacked, it's not the whole platform that is hacked. So that will be our biggest challenge to make sure.
Right, right. Mark, maybe I can bring you back in at this point. What are the regulations around creating an exchange like this? I mean, does the South African Reserve Bank provide any sort of regulatory guidance, at least, or are there any regulators looking at this market? And from a regulatory perspective, what do you have to be cognizant of? Do you have to take into account regulations all around the world? Maybe just walk me through that side of things.
Yeah, so I think that's a difficult question to answer. So I don't think any government in the world has got their heads around what is crypto, what are crypto assets. I know the SEC is battling, and I think they've declared that Bitcoin and Ethereum weren't securities. On a regulatory front, we are domiciling housing trust bar from the Seychelles. So we're not going to be restricted by the South African Reserve Bank.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to comply as much as possible with all regulatory conditions. So we will KYC users that are onboarded onto our platform, and we will perform the necessary AML checks as well.
AML being?
Anti-money laundering.
Oh, I see. Okay. Why did you choose the Seychelles?
So we looked at all the other guys in the industry and looked where they were domiciling, and BitMEX was from Seychelles, so we decided that was a good option.
Okay.
Binance is going to Malta.
Okay. So before we wrap up, what do you expect people to use this platform for that they don't use other platforms for? I mean, is there anything beyond the cross-chain transactions that you're planning to offer that this platform is going to offer that other people don't?
So there are some ideas that we've got that we'd like to explore down the line.
Yeah.
There's currently no exchange that offers like a top 40 fund or top 20 fund of crypto assets. So with the smart contract and going across chain, you could essentially build that. It wouldn't be too hard. And we're going to explore a couple of other interesting concepts and see where they can lead us.
All right. And Becca, what's the business model here? Do you take a cut of the transaction?
So, yeah, we are going to take a cut of the transaction that we are going to share with the people who hold the token. But we are looking really to charge as low fees as possible, and hopefully with raising enough funds that will enable us to not really be concerned about how much we charge the people. It's more about providing a good platform where people can come and exchange crypto.
All right. Before we wrap up today, I always ask these questions of people involved in the cryptocurrency space because it is such a new area, but I just wanted to get your views on what advice you would give to anyone who isn't invested in cryptocurrencies at the moment but who is interested in this space. What key things should they know?
It's tough. So my biggest ones would be do your own research.
Mm-hmm.
So and various sources to corroborate the information that you're getting to make sure you're not being scammed. And also to never believe in these fly-by-nights that promise guaranteed returns of X percent. The moment you see a guaranteed return,
yeah,
for me, that's a sign of a scam. And also maybe just follow some interesting people that know the information that have been there that you can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that would be a start.
All right. And do you think Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are near the bottom now? I mean, we've seen them come off so substantially from their highs in December of last year. Where do the value of these tokens go from here in your view?
That's always a tough one. But I did see we've had a little bit of a bounce in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
But for me, it's always a good time to buy, especially if you're looking at this in the long-term game. So if you're not worried in the next 3 to 6 months as to what's going to happen, it's mm-hmm. always a good time to buy. I don't see us going much lower than this. So let's see where December, November we will be.
Yeah. So buy and hodl is your message.
That is correct.
Great stuff. Becca Kunu and Mark Smith are co-founders of TrustBar. Their website is trustbar.io if you want to find out more. Thank you so much for talking to Tech Central today, and best of luck with the ICO and the launch of the exchange.